From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. To begin today's program, we invite your attention to an excerpt from Q&A with Alan Cairns, part of a series in which Dr. Cairns answers various questions that are raised frequently by both Christians and non-Christians. Dr. Cairns is the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and his long experience in the pastoral and teaching ministry will help to provide insights into these various areas of concern. A DVD containing all of these interviews is available at no charge from Let the Bible Speak. Ordering information will be given at the close of the broadcast. Now here is Dr. Cairns to answer the question, can you be sure you're saved?
Is it possible to be sure you're saved? The simple answer, biblically, undoubtedly. Let's not make doubt a spiritual virtue. The Bible record is very plain in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And then in verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. And he goes on to give us the record of the gospel that ends up saying, he that hath the Son hath life. Now, put it all together. If you have Christ, you have life. If you have life in Christ, you have the witness in yourself. Now, what does that mean? Well, in Romans 8, Paul gives us an insight into it, where he speaks of the spirit of adoption. And this spirit of adoption, first of all, within us is a spirit of prayer whereby we cry, Abba, Father. But he also bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, how does the Spirit bear witness with our spirit? First of all, his witness is always going to be a biblical witness. Jesus, throughout the letters to the churches in Revelation, says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. And it's what is written. Again, in 1 John chapter 5, we are told these are written that you might know that you have eternal life. So, the Spirit bears witness by applying his word to the heart. Assurance of salvation is possible, but we have got to make sure we do not sink to presumption. Assurance of salvation is a spiritual grace. It is, should I say, a perfection in or a maturity in faith. A soul believes the gospel. He takes Christ at his word. Now, there is a level of assurance that can thereby be gained. Put it quite simply, Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. There's a mystery I cannot begin to understand. There's a people whom God gave to his Son. And Jesus said, they will come to me. But now here's something I can understand. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Under no circumstances will I cast out the one who's coming to me. Now, does Jesus Christ lie or does he not? Well, if he tells the truth and I come to him, can he cast me out? Is it possible that he could fail to do what he intends to do? Is there any lack of power? Well, no, he's the omnipotent Christ. So if there's no lack of power, and we can take him at his word, if he says something, then we can take that word to the bank, because it's absolutely certain. God cannot lie. Now, that's one level of assurance. There is a deeper level where, as we get our eyes on Christ, the Spirit ministers Christ to the heart, and he increases that confidence to a full assurance of faith. But let me caution you, that comes through faith in Christ. Most people who suffer from lack of assurance are wondering, did I pray the right prayer? Did I repent enough? Was I sincere enough? And you'll see it's all coming back to me, 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 me. Have I done this? Have I done that? Look, nothing I have ever done has been perfectly done. My faith is not a perfect faith. My repentance is not a perfect repentance. My love is not a perfect love. There's nothing that I do or you do that's perfect. Yet assurance demands perfection. Where will I find it? In Christ. And it's the more we turn to him and the more we get our understanding of heart fixed on who he is, what he's done, and especially what it means to be one with him by faith, what it means to be justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus and that is received by faith alone, once you understand what it is to have the righteousness of Christ imputed to you as a believer in Christ, then you'll come to the deep and wonderful realization, God accepts me as being as righteous as Christ, with the same legal right to be in heaven as Christ, the same ground of acceptance as Christ, because Christ lived for me as well as died for me. And God has made over to my account as a believer in Christ all the righteousness and all the merit of Christ, so that, according to Romans 5, I am now constituted legally righteous in Christ, who is my righteousness. Now, that's the object of our faith. Instead of always being inward looking, looking back, was my decision good enough? Look up. Do I believe in Jesus? Have I hope anywhere else but in Jesus? Then let me look to him. Let me consider him, as Hebrews 12 says. Consider him. Let it sink down into our hearts all this glorious truth of our union with him and what it is to have his righteousness imputed. And you'll find that's what the Spirit ministers to the heart, to bring the witness of the assurance of salvation and eternal life in Christ.
Because I stand redeemed. As I gaze upon my Savior and the wounds he bore for me, I will sing of his salvation, but with blood upon the tree. While the hosts of angels listen to a song they cannot sing, I will voice my praise to Jesus with a song of the redeemed, of the redeemed. I stand redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The price is paid. My debt is gone. The chains that bound me no longer hold me because of Calvary. I stand
a desire to study the Bible, but not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures, and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Again, that's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, we're featuring messages from a series he preached from Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Today, he continues a message entitled, Characteristics of Christian Leadership, Gentleness. Now, here is the Reverend Armin Tomassian.
There's a tendency within churches that are determined to stand for the truth, that they don't require themselves to be gentle in how they do it. And that's a grave error, a grave error. There are things that need to be stood for. There are God's word. You need to stand upon it and be firm about everything that it says and it teaches. But your manner is vital. You're not going to win people simply by being right. I wonder how many good churches, sound churches, fundamental churches, have driven people away not because of the things that they say, but because of their manner. Their manner. This is pastorally. This is when Paul went in there and he preached. What was his manner when he went and preached? He spoke on to the God. Look at verse 2. If you go back there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. In the midst of contention. So he, with the Jews opposing him, Paul would stand firm. Standing there in the synagogue or in the marketplace. This wasn't some kind of person you could just blow over with a puff of wind coming. This was a strong, he was a strong man, a firm man, a bold man, a courageous man. And when the Jews would come and try to threaten him and stop him, he could not be stopped. There was a firmness in his character. But when he came alongside the converts, and that's when you're coming to verse 7, we were gentle among you. When he came alongside them, when you got to know him, it was a different person altogether. The first person that came to mind when I thought about this was Dr. Paisley. Because so many times, because of the way he would declare the truth, just the way he would declare it, people would insinuate from that he was a harsh man. And you could not get a more gentlemanly-like character in your home. You sit alongside, of all the free church ministers I have ever met, none has been more of an encourager than Dr. Paisley. He was an encourager. He would sit, before I went to Australia, he wanted to see me. And I went in along, sat in a little room with him and another minister. And he just, the only reason he wanted to see me was to encourage me. He was gentle. He was a big gentleman who just wanted to encourage God's people and was always about the business of being a Barnabas. And yet you see him in the pulpit thundering the word of God forth. You could insinuate things. You could assume things. You could imagine he was some kind of harsh character. But you would be completely wrong. And it was the same with Paul. Paul would come in. He would be straight. He would be direct. He is preaching that Christ, the Christ that's looked for by the Jew, is indeed this Jesus of Nazareth, arguing from the scriptures boldly, courageously, every day. But when you got alongside him, we were gentle among you. Gentle. Now, is this the way Paul always was? The Pharisee of the Pharisees spent his time breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. I doubt it. I imagine that Paul would have been hard to cope with before his conversion. If you confessed to be a Pharisee, I imagine it would have been quite uncomfortable to be in the presence of Paul, or Saul as he was then, because he was so precise. So precise. And if you were off, I can just see him. I think the natural tendency of his personality, the precision with which he sought to, as touching the law, blameless, I imagine him to have required it of others as well. So what happened? What happened? Well, he got converted. He was born again of the Spirit. This man, and this throws out any idea when someone has, that's just my personality. If your personality is in opposition to the will of God for your life, you need to repent of your personality. It can't remain that way simply, well, you don't know, my father was like this, my grandfather was like this, they were all contentious men. I don't know whether they proclaim to be a Christian, but if you do, you need to change. You need to change. You need to be a gentle man. Your manner needs to be a gentle manner, not harsh. Not the kind of person that's difficult to bear with, but a gentleman. Paul, this giant, both before his conversion and after, when the Lord Jesus got his heart, there was no arguing for his personality. There's no trying to say, well, that's just the way I am. Everything, absolutely every part of his whole nature got put to death if it was not in line with the will of Christ. We were gentle among you. We need to be gentle. We need to remember, especially as we're dealing with our young people. And that's the context here. He is dealing with a new church. These are new believers, new converts. They may be older in age. We don't know what age they all are, but they're new believers. And that kind of spirit that looks at young people and sees every fault, that can't commend them for the good and be thankful for the positive in them, that's so destructive. It's so destructive. Some young person coming, there's, I don't know what it is, there's some little thing that just bugs you. Because they haven't seen it that way or learned of it. They haven't grown, they haven't matured yet. But you just have to come in there and you just have to point out the error. Now, if it's a serious matter, then point it out. But even there, use tact. Come in and commend them for all that's good. And then say, in this area, have you ever considered this or whatever? Be tactful. In Titus chapter 3, verse 2, Paul writes, speak evil of no man, be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And you see that? There's a gentlemanly-like characteristic. It's to all. It's to all. Don't speak evil of any man. Don't go around speaking evil of men. Again, there are times, there are certain scenarios where you have to say something about an evil that's going on or an error that's being propagated or whatever. There are times. There are times. There are seasons. But they are small and far more narrow than many realize. Speak evil of no man. I mean, we've got to the stage where if we do not know dirt on someone, but we suspect it, we'll Google for it. We'll try and find something. Find dirt on people. And I wish that those that are in the habit of that would just take half a minute and read what the larger catechism says about the ninth commandment. That desire to find dirt on other people, to scrape away everything, to try and find something that you can hold against them, it is not of the Spirit of God. Speak evil of no man, be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I have no time to spend on these verses. 1 Peter 2:18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. You see, the man is not gentle, he's froward. He's bent all out of shape. He's crooked and he's warped. There have been those kind of men in history. You know how they die? Alone. They do. And on their dying bed, they will still proclaim the reasonableness of their position and the whys and wherefores as to why they carried out their ministry the way they did. But they die alone. It is not Christ-likeness, beloved. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Think of it. 2 Corinthians. These Corinthians are opposing him, or some of them are being led astray to think wrongly of the Apostle Paul. What's his manner? Well, it's direct. He speaks the truth. But I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I have learned this from the Lord. I have learned this from the Lord. gentleness exhibited in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was gentle. The Lord Jesus was a gentleman. In the true sense of the word, again, not in the sense that he had no ability to stand up for what was right when duty would call for it. There was never a more fearless man that ever lived. But he was gentle. Gentle. Think of how he dealt with his disciples. Yes, he upbraided them for their unbelief. Right at the end, after years of instructing them, encouraging them, teaching them, discipling them, and he upbraids them for their unbelief, but he doesn't decommission them. He doesn't. He upbraids them for their unbelief, but he continues to commission them, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Being mild, being fair, being a reasonable man, a reasonable woman. This is Paul's example. We were gentle among you. Don't forget it, beloved.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.